May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see, thou hast little cause to grieve. Hymn 273.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read Psalms 80 and 85. Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength, and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favourable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield of increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, do enable us now to look up in faith. Thou art the Lord, the inspirer of this, the giver of it, the author and finisher of it. Oh, do be pleased to grant it unto us even now. Grant one the aid of thy Spirit, Lord, and oh, may it be in such a way as there shall be that unity of the Spirit created in this assembly, that one may be so inspired by thee in prayer, that one may give utterance to the desires thou dost give to others. Thou hast said, if two of you agree on earth as touching anything ye shall ask the Father, he will give it you. Lord, we do pray, do grant us thy Son, that unspeakable gift of thine, he in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, the Saviour, the one Saviour of sinners. Lord, we do pray, do come down into our midst, into our very hearts, that we might know something of what the apostle spoke, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be able with all saints to comprehend the heights and the depths and the length and the breadth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. We do pray, Lord, for grace, Lord, that quickening grace to be given to the dead in sins, the new birth. And Lord, for that grace, to desire grace, that grace to feel our need, that grace to feel our sin, to mourn over it, that grace, Lord, to come to thee, truly broken hearted, that precious grace of faith. Thou said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Lord, oh, do give that grace to thirst, that grace to come unto thee, that grace to drink. Make us willing to receive what thy love designs to give. Make us willing to be clean. Make us willing, Lord, to be separated unto thyself. Make us willing to be thy disciples, under thy teaching, influence, instruction, and leading. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst make us real mourners over our unwillingness, over our sinful inability. We pray, Lord, that thou grant us that grace to truly repent. Lord, leave us not. To anything of the flesh in these vital things. For Lord, thy word solemnly warns against voluntary humility. Lord, we pray that thou would save us from it. Everything, Lord, which is of the flesh, do detect and destroy it. And lead us in the way everlasting. Grant us that pure gold, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches in those letters. And Lord, by thy word into their hearts, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst favour us this day with a little real worship. A little true separation unto thyself. Draw us, Lord, and we will run after thee. Raise us, Lord, above ourselves, above each other. Lord, lay us low at thy feet. O Lord, to be found in the Spirit. Oh, we do beg for thy Holy Spirit. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst make us truly to mourn and hate those sins that have made thee mourn and driven thee from thy breast, from our breast. O Lord, return, O Holy Dove, return, we pray. For without thee, blessed Spirit of truth, there is nothing. Lord, the word does not profit. Without thy influence, Lord, without thy conviction, there is no real sense of our sin in that way that saves in leading to Christ. Lord, without thy blessed inspiration, there is no real prayer. There are no real believing views of Christ. There is no true love. Lord, there is no true understanding without thee, blessed Spirit. Lord, we pray, come down. Lord, we plead, have mercy upon us. Lord, we plead in the name of thy Son. For is not this the name that thou hast said thou hast sent the Spirit down in? And hast thou not said, if ye being evil know to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Lord, we pray, make one thy messenger in thy message. Grant thy people the hearing of faith. Oh, do grant this day that we may be good ground hearers. Lord, the work is thine own entirely. Lord, 'tis thou that hast give that good heart, that new heart. 'Tis thou that dost plow up the fallow ground with thy law, with thy judgments, with thy word, with thy reproofs, with thy chastening. 'Tis thou that dost send the word of thy gospel. 'Tis thou that dost sow it in the heart, causing it to enter in faith. And 'tis thou that dost watch over it and send those showers and cause that sun to shine. There shall be a putting root downward and a putting the shooting upward. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Oh, we pray for it. Lord, how solemn if we are not made such good ground hearers. How solemn if we should come in and out of thy house all our days. A and be stony ground, thorny ground, always side hearers. How often we are such. Lord, there are some of us who hope. We are sometimes made by thee, that good ground hearer. Lord, it is all of thy mercy. We pray we may be so today. Lord, bless this church and people. Bless them with thy felt presence in thy house and in their individual paths. Lord, be with them in their houses as they go about their daily lives, in business, in family, in church. Lord, in every step. Lord, have mercy, we beseech thee. Remember thy afflicted people, be very gracious and merciful to them, and sanctify to them the afflictions. According to thy will, heal and restore, and mercifully grant relief, Lord, if it would please thee. Above all, we pray for them, that blessed relief, that strong consolation, that balm of Gilead applied to their heart, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I am the Lord that healeth thee. To make the bitter sweet. To bind up the wounds. To heal the festering sores. Lord, to put a new song in the heart of thy people. Lord, we seek for the young. Thou, Lord, knowest those that are thine. Lord, we pray for their manifestation. We read in thy word of that waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Lord, we pray for it. Those that wait for their own manifestation. Those who seek thee. Who have that desire wrought in their heart that thou didst give to dear Ruth. O Lord, make them gleaners today in thy field. Let them glean beside the sheaves, reach them parched corn. Let them dip their morsel in the vinegar. O Lord, if it is thy will, lead them to the threshing floor. And give them those great promises, thou blessed heavenly Boaz. Fear not, my daughter, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Lord, do then save our young people, we beg. Preserve them in these perilous times. Lord, we beseech thee, be their shield. Be a wall of fire round about them. Lord, cause thy godly fear to be that preserver, a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And Lord, guide all their steps. Perfect that which concerneth them each. And all of us, we pray, grant grace and wisdom, discernment to parents. Oh, may there be that fear of the Lord given to us. Oh, may there be that grace given to pray, Lord, and speak as thou dost inspire. Lord, grant that bringing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, forgive all our shortcomings as parents. We beseech thee. Lord, have mercy on our children, that we may not be a snare or a stumbling block to them. Lord, forgive our sins. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless the deacons of this cause and deacons of other causes. Lord, do help in this labour. Do direct, Lord, and Lord, do grant that wisdom needed. And thy ministering servants, we pray for them. Lord, make them faithful unto death. Help them, make them instant in season and out of season. Oh, Lord, make them useful. Make them able ministers of the New Testament. Oh, make them, Lord, thy mouthpiece to thy people. O Lord, do grant that they may be, by thy own inspiration, blessed Spirit of truth, Lord, a means of grace to thy people. O Lord, may they then be the means of the quickening of the dead, the convincing of sin, the warning, the reproof, the admonition. Lord, enable them to preach Christ and give them that resolve to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, we plead for Zion. Lord, have mercy. Forsake us not, we beseech thee. Revive us, we pray. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Quicken us, Lord, and we will call on thy name. Make the ministry of the word powerful. Lord, oh, may the word be as an hammer by thy power to break the rock. May it be as oil by thy power to anoint with that anointing which teacheth of all things, to heal the wounds, to grant that soothing relief which only the gospel in the power of it can give. O Lord, we pray, do grant that manifest union to Christ. Thy word plainly declares how it should be manifest. Fruit. Lord, we pray, oh, unite us to Christ by a real living union. There shall be that bearing of fruit, nothing of ourselves, all of him. We pray, Lord, for any in special need at this time, here or wherever thy people are in the earth. Oh, do be very merciful and gracious to thy people. We plead now, come to our aid as we further sing thy praises and are spared, turn to thy word. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst grant that we may be raised above ourselves, Lord, that may not be one's own words spoken but thine. And then, Lord, surely thy name shall be glorified and good shall be done. For thou hast said thy word shall not return to thee void, but shall accomplish that which thou dost please and prosper in the thing whereto thou hast sent it. We thank thee for all thy many mercies. Lord, they are indeed countless as the sands, for thy provision, protection, forbearance, for the word of thy grace, in remembrance of every deliverance, granted every word spoken, every blessing bestowed. And Lord, we would seek to thank thee, not only personally, but Lord, oh, collectively thy mercies to us, and even to this guilty land of ours, in the harvest thou art giving. And Lord, thy sparing mercy, yet, Lord, have mercy yet upon Britain. Spare, we beseech thee. Oh, take not the candlestick of truth utterly from these shores. Lord, overrule, we pray, those in authority over us. Come and grant once more, we beseech thee, if it could please thee, a gracious revival. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 24. Why should the children of a king go mourning all their days? Great Comforter, descend and bring some tokens of thy grace. Hymn number 24.
Help and his blessing, I venture to direct you to Psalm 85, verse 6. Psalm 85, verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Thank you. the answer to this question, this plea for the child of God, the church of God, surely is yes. You may say, how can you be so sure? The only thing that we can be sure about is what the Lord has said. And that is very important. It is, if I may put it like this, increasingly important as we see the day approaching. That day when we each must die. That day when the Lord will return without sin to gather to himself all his people. And that is important is this, that the Lord would fix our eyes, our soul, upon him, upon his word. That word which endureth forever. And his word clearly promises that his people shall be maintained to the end. His word clearly states that there will be a people here on this earth when the Son of Man returns. It intimates, the Lord's word intimates, that they shall be very few. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And the Lord promises in Isaiah 32, he promises the outpouring of the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus in his ministry, he spoke of that. He said, when he is come, he will convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And of course, the word of God declares his faithfulness. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. But though it is certain that wherever this inquiry, this petition is made, it will be answered. The Lord will not let his people rest without it being answered. The promises, you know, are not given for the Lord's people to go to sleep on. And if you've had a promise given you by God, he will also keep you spiritually awake concerning that promise. And that may be, it will be, by things which are very painful to your flesh. If the Lord gives a promise, he'll lead you in a path you haven't got anything else to rest upon. Jacob said, with my staff have I passed over this Jordan. David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Wilt thou not revive us again? Individually and collectively, the church of God has need again and again to plead for this. Why is that? It is because while here below, their living, quickened soul resides in a body of sin and death. And that sin, it has a deadening effect. The need for revival is caused by sin. Not necessarily gross outward sin. The backsliding that the Lord's people often need restoring from may not be outward backsliding. The word says the backslider in heart should be filled with his own ways. To begin then personally, wilt thou not revive us again? When the Lord gives his child the realization of where they are. And if we are his child, his son or his daughter, he will give us this realization. And if we are his son or his daughter, his heart is set on us. That love, you know, that we often speak of, and alas, know so little of, if one may confess for any other, it is a jealous love. Love is as strong as the grave. Love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. The Lord will have his people to himself. They are his portion. Oh, what a right he has to them. By covenant, transaction and blood, says Jesus, my people are mine. When then they are in experience, in heart, in walk, in affections, far off from him, cold, lukewarm, prayerless, not thirsting after him, when they are walking carelessly in sin, when they are contrary to his command, not coming out from among the world and being separate from them, but mingling with them, going as far as their outward profession will stand, the Lord will show them where they are. The Lord will make them feel it. And this is how the Lord shows his people and makes them feel where they are. We're not saved by feelings. But if we are saved, we are saved with a feeling religion. True religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And the Lord, by his word, by judgments that he lays upon his people, by chastenings, by afflictions, what a mercy it is if the Lord grant a faithful ministry. Truly the word of God says a faithful ambassador is health. If you're a child of God, you'll have to acknowledge your best earrings aren't always comfortable. The Lord says to his servants, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Make known to my people their transgressions. And they feel it. They're made of feeling. Here is the evidence of life. They feel the death. If a poor soul feels the death, the spiritual death, and what do we mean by that? Entire lack of any spiritual life in the exercise of it. The coldness, the worldliness, the prayerlessness, the lack of hunger and thirst, or the hardness with respect to sin, so that sin is not felt as it should be felt. Sin is not grieved over. Sin may be committed in thought and word and deed, and either committed completely blindly, so we do not see it as sin, or committed in such a way as there may be a slight prick of the conscience. But then there is not that real burden of guilt that leads, by the Holy Spirit's leading, to the confession of it and the seeking of the forgiveness of it and the grace to turn from it. If the Lord were not so faithful, if he were not the God that he is, the infinite God, if we were not the covenant-keeping, faithful Father of his people, he would not send letters to them like he did. Those letters to the churches by John in the book of the Revelation. I believe it was the late Mr. J.H. Gosden who pointed out, God didn't send letters to the Egyptians. He didn't send 7 letters to them, he sent 10 plagues. God had no love to the Egyptians. He sends letters including reproof to his church because he loves them. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Well then, the realization of this need of revival is the first thing in the work of God to bring a sinner to inquire, wilt thou not revive us again? The second thing is surely that vital, needful teaching, and that may come through the Lord not suffering other attempts to succeed. The realization that only God himself can revive me again. Oh, beware, my dear friends, of when anything is wrong with you, when you are made to feel anything wrong with you, beware of putting your hand forth to put it right. That is the worst thing you could possibly do. But it is the most natural thing, isn't it? And do we not find this in our own cases? Though oft through pride my stubborn will to Sinai feels a cleaving still. I will do this, I'll do that. I will leave off that. I'll leave off this. And this puts us miles away from Christ. Puts us in a worse condition than we were when we were first began to be acquainted with our need of revival. And do we not, alas, see it? Even amongst our own circle in the day in which we live. There's a realization that things aren't what they were. But do we not see things arising which have never been seen before in our circle? Things arranged, things organized. I come back to that point I made or tried to make earlier concerning the Word of God. What does the Word of God say the Lord will use for the revival of His people? If those things that are put forth and proposed to try to encourage the young, keep them at chapel, if those things are not found in the Word of God, my dear friend, they will be of no use whatever, but rather a hindrance. Wilt thou not revive us again? This is the place then that the Lord brings each one of these people to Him. And you see, that's what I had in mind when I said just now, of the Lord's love, He will have His people near Him. He will have His people united to Him. Not only in those covenant, everlasting covenant ties which cannot be broken. He'll have them united to Him experimentally. He'll have them, like the hymn writer says in the hymn concerning the living vine, the feeblest branch of mine, around thy all-supporting stem, my feeble soul I'd twine. Well, where are you, sinner, this afternoon? Are you twining your soul, as it were, round that blessed living stem? Or are you trying to live away from Christ? We do. Alas, oh my dear friend, were not the love of God so full and unchangeable and free as it is, where should we get to? Where do we get to when we're left to ourselves? Is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? Since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. My bowels are moved for him. I will surely have mercy upon him. Wilt thou not revive us again? Notice the tenderness, the reverence, the pleading nature of this petition. Those led by the Holy Spirit of God, they cannot make demands of God. No, every request of theirs must be, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, in reverence, in acknowledgement of His sovereignty. And that's what's found in this expression, wilt thou not? Wilt thou not? The realization that this matter is with the sovereign God. He who has said, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Wilt thou not revive us again? But then also in this petition, wilt thou not revive us again? Is that God-given faith that he is able to revive us again? Oh, what a blessing this is. When that faith is really given, you know, if, and this has been my burden in coming here this afternoon with this word, if the Lord should so cause this word to be sown in our heart, so that we are made really personally and collectively to plead it. Oh, what an evidence it would be that the Lord has a gracious purpose to revive us. Will thou not revive us again? The Almighty. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. In the prophecy of Isaiah, he says, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Thy dew is as the dew of herbs. If it is one who has known his gracious revival before, that giving of life and that renewing of it before, the Lord may mercifully draw them to his feet in this way by reminding them of what he's previously done. And notice that reminder of what he's previously done. It draws forth the request that he will do it again. One of the solemn snares that we are so prone to in our circle is to realise that things aren't what they were before. To realise our souls aren't in the lively condition they once were. But then to, in a fleshly way, take hold of the truth that God is faithful. And in a fleshly way sing those lines of that hymn. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. And when things are taken hold of in a fleshly way like that, there can be no deliverance from the condition. And so the impoverished condition continues. Oh, I'm not what I once was. I'm a poor sinner. How easily that falls off our lips. But God is faithful. How easily that trips off our tongue. But my dear friend, remember what Paul said to the Corinthians concerning the faithfulness of God. But God is faithful, by whom ye were called to the fellowship of his Son. Now that means that if we experience the faithfulness of God, we shall be favoured to experience the fellowship with his dear Son. And there's no fellowship with his dear Son while we are miles away from him, saying in our fleshly way, God is faithful. Will thou not revive us again? This is a prayer for one who is convinced of such a sinfulness. Don't think when I try, as I just have to point out a particular snare and a particular evil that we are subject to. Don't think that I mean by this that you must go away and correct yourself. You cannot. And this is what the Lord brings his people to. Wilt thou not revive us again? All life flows from God. It flows through his dear Son. It flows to the sinner by the Holy Spirit. Wilt thou not revive us again? Now, what a sovereign, almighty, giving and reviving of life that is. The word of God is one means above all else. The means that the Lord uses in this revival. Are there those here this afternoon? I believe there are. And you have known something of the Lord speaking to you with divine power. Remember what Jesus said in John 6. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now this is what's wrong with thinking we can educate the young to be strict Baptists and to be God-fearing people. This is what's wrong with it. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We must not learn God's truth as schoolboys learn their task. And my dear young friends, if there be those among you and you have been quickened into life, you're beginning to seek after him, you find this. You prove it. You need the Lord to speak to your soul. When he saith, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He gives you that grace to acknowledge, Lord, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him. Concerning that great matter of faith, you know, we can't be taught to believe. By grace are ye saved through faith, thou not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And all that blessed obedience to the Lord's command, that walking in his commandments. My dear friend, you cannot do that. However frequently and however fervently you may have set before you those commandments. The psalmist said, didn't he, I'll run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Everything flows from God to a sinner. If we put the obedience before the God, everything will come to a calamity. Jesus said, I am Alpha, the beginning and the ending. Paul had that confidence of the Philippians, didn't he? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Will thou not revive us again? This revival then, oh, the giving of spiritual life. We read in that Psalm 80, the view that the church was given concerning the way alone God could revive, the way alone he could make them to follow hard after him. They prayed, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. so will not we go back from thee. Now that man of God's right hand is Christ, the man Christ Jesus. When the Father has his hand upon his Son, the man of his right hand, it speaks of that inflicting by the Father of all the wrath due unto the sins of his people upon his dear Son. But it speaks also of that way the Father looks upon his people, how he receives them. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Lay thy hand, oh, that gracious way. You see, what is set forth? What was that that the church spoke of when she said, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, whom thou madest strong for thyself? It's that glorious finished work of Christ. The Father, in his appointment and upholding of his dear Son, his first elect. Behold my servant. Notice that. My servant. The one who alone could do his Father's will. The one who alone could fulfill his Father's law. The one who alone could vanquish Satan. The one who alone could vanquish sin. The one who alone could overcome the world. The one who alone can overcome death. Wilt thou not revive us again? This revival then is inseparably connected. It is the very fruit of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to Timothy, didn't he? Oh, that it might come to us. I think of a similar word Nehemiah spoke. He said to the people under all that trouble and distress and discouragement they're in, he says, remember the Lord. But Paul wrote to Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now what is it so important about remembering that? That's the only way you're going to be revived. The only way God can revive you. It's the only way you can be made different. Paul said, didn't he, I'm crucified with Christ. Led by the Spirit into that truth of the death and the resurrection of Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. The Spirit's teaching, making him to realize everything I have which is good must come through that cross of Christ. Everything that is good in God's sight, there it is. And so this is why Paul had that resolve, determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What would Paul have said then about these other things? We know what he would say, because he did say it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because there were those other things. They're not new. Even in those early days of the churches. You think of Galatia. And what did he say? Who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? I'm afraid of you, he said, lest I have bestowed upon you labour in vain. But he says more than that. Oh, the dear man had the Spirit of Christ upon him. He speaks of these for whom he travails in pain, that they might be born again. That Christ might be formed anew in their heart. They might be delivered from this dreadful condition. Wilt thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Why, that resurrection of Jesus Christ, oh, how it shows that through him God is able to raise from the dead. And of course it was shown with Lazarus and others whom the Lord raised from the dead in his ministry. And you see, this is what the Lord will bring his people to in these petitions. Will thou not revive it? Lord, we need that. We need that. We're dead, Lord. There's nothing of life in us. But oh, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Will thou not revive us? But this blessed Spirit that is so needed. Oh, what an evidence of thee. Withholding of the Spirit, that we personally and collectively in the churches are in such a impoverished condition. How few conversions there are. How few lambs come into the fold. How few are wrought upon under the preaching of the word. How little will conviction of sin, how few who come into the house of God groaning, burdened under sin. And isn't this evident? The least excuse? And they can stay away from the house of God? Or isn't it evident in the light and trifling way in which they come in and go out? Will they not revive us again? But then, especially with regard to the knowledge of Christ. You see, the church here, she prays, wilt thou not revive us again? What does she have in view? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Now, that is the will of God, isn't it? Not that they shall be always rejoicing. No. But that the Holy Spirit shall be granted unto them, so that at his appointed times, they shall be found rejoicing over all the things that distress and grieve and perplex and distress and cast down. And how can that be? Jesus set it forth. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. One of the things which we are subject to, especially in a day like our own, is to forget prosperity, to unbelief, to think it will never be given. To, as it were, convince ourselves or the devil to convince us. Well, it's such a solemn day. There's no hope of there being any rejoicing. But that's unbelief, and it's the work of the devil. The Lord's will is that his people shall at appointed times rejoice in him. And that rejoicing is not an empty rejoicing. It's not the rejoicing like when the worldling's crops prosper or his business prospers. It's not the rejoicing of the worldling when he experiences some carnal natural pleasure. It's the holy rejoicing of the soul. And where is the place alone that a child of God can really rejoice? Well, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. That's what they rejoice at. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The prayer sets forth the realization this sinner proves, that the rejoicing is his gift. You know, it doesn't look well. It doesn't look scriptural. It doesn't look of the Holy Spirit. If every time you hear the letter of the gospel, you can rejoice in it. The Lord's people know those times when they find that the word of the gospel, it doesn't enter their heart. They may hear the same truths that they have been favoured to rejoice in days past, but today they can't rejoice in it. Now why is that? Because the rejoicing is altogether the work of God. It's the application. Though God's election is a truth, it's a solemn thing, you know, if you can rejoice in God's election without him telling you, he has chosen you. That's when a sinner can rejoice in it. And that forgiveness of sins, there's no greater cause of rejoicing here below and in heaven above than this blessed truth that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. But it's preached unto you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh, that we might be given then this motive, not only to pray, wilt thou not revive us again? You see, we may have a wrong motive in that. James speaks of it, doesn't he? He ask and have not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You know, the child of God that really wants revival, they don't want it so that the chapel is going to be filled. The minister doesn't want it so that his ministry will be vindicated by the signs following. If the desire is really granted by the Holy Spirit, the desire is that we may rejoice in thee. That we may rejoice in thee. And you see, this brings in that solemn, felt lack that brings a sinner to feel their need of revival. That is the lack of Christ. The lack of him. Oh, my dear friend, you know, if we are experimentally without him, what need of revival we have. When he is with a sinner, oh, that tender fear of God, they're given through him being with them. What a dread of sin, what a hatred of it. What a separation from the world. What a cleansing from idols, the presence of the Lord. What a humbling. What a liberating. If the Lord is with us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Oh, a visit, Lord, that will revive us. And you know the Lord, he is able to do it in a moment. Haven't some of you found it? And haven't you found it in this way, as you've been brought perhaps to the lowest place you'd ever been in your soul's feelings, as low as you'd ever come, miserable? What a mercy to be made miserable for want of Christ. There may be many things, if there is that misery in your heart and in your life this afternoon, there may be many things that are causing it. But I tell you, my dear friend, if you're miserable for want of Christ, the Lord won't leave you in that misery. No. He's that good Samaritan that sees his people in that miserable state and goes to them and pours in the oil and the wine, binds up their wounds and puts them on his own beast and takes them to an inn and takes care of them there. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh, what ground for rejoicing there is in God. To rejoice in Christ Jesus. This is one of the things that Paul spoke, wasn't it, when he was setting forth who are the true circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus, who have no confidence in the flesh. But when can a sinner rejoice? Why, when he's manifested to him. When you get a glimpse of him, that caused Yeddy to rejoice, didn't it? He comes to the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. He's in tears, he hasn't got what he wants. Those emblems aren't enough. Being there amongst the Lord's people isn't enough. Only Christ is enough, and he can't find him. But listen to him later that day. Look at his face. He's got joy written all over his face. If Moses' countenance so shone when he received the law, oh, how Yeddy's and every one of these that receive Christ, how that face shines. I've seen yon lovely man. Will thou not revive us again? To see him, that will revive you. To see the law fulfilled for you, that will revive you. To hear his voice, come unto me. To hear his voice, son, daughter, thy sins are forgiven. Oh, to have that powerful, alluring voice speak to you and draw you after himself. To have that love of his so shed abroad in your hearts. Oh, what a lack of love. The word says, doesn't it, of these days in which we are now living. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Those two on the Emmaus Road. Oh, how they were revived. Jesus himself drew near, went with them. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And the fools and slow of heart to believe are delivered. And they're united. One of the evidences of the need of revival is a lack of unity. And again you see there are many things that people do to try to create unity. They might create some unity, but not real unity. The real unity is the Spirit of God revealing Christ. You see, they only had one heart then. They said, didn't they? Did not our heart, one heart, burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, wilt thou not revive us again? When the Lord's people have one heart and one spirit, it's the Lord. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Another symptom of the need of revival is the dumbness. Was there ever a day in the history of the Church of God when people said less about spiritual things? I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I'm convinced of it concerning myself. But oh, how it grieves any that, especially when they read that word that says, then they that fear the Lord. You see, we need that fear of the Lord. Will they not revive us, Lord, and grant us that fear, that we may be found in that place? Then they that feared the Lord spake often, one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it, a book of remembrance. But you see, when the Lord revives a person again, they've got something to speak of. Something fresh to speak of. Oh, it's the Lord speaking in them. Will thou not revive us again? To deliver us from this worldliness. You know, if the Lord come and graciously revive us in the only way he can, mercifully revealing his Son to us and revealing him in us. What a separation. He prayed, didn't he, to his Father in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee, and the churches, the dwindling congregations, but the impoverishment among the congregations too. Oh, the solemn lack of signs following the preaching of the word. Oh, that these things might be so laid upon our heart that like Jeremiah of old, we weep. He said, didn't he? His eyes cease not. They trickle down day and night for the affliction of the daughter of my people. But you see a poor soul that says, oh, that I might be like Jeremiah. And you prove you can't make yourself like him. No, Jeremiah didn't make himself like him. Is a prayer for a poor sinner. Lord, make me want to be revived. Lord, make me want to be cleansed from my idols. Make me want to be more prayerful. Make me want to be more dependent upon thee, Lord. Make me want to be separated from these things that my nature finds so attractive. Make me want thee, Lord. Something yet can do the deed, and that, dear, something much I need. And you see, wilt thou not revive us again? Isn't this, Lord, for thy glory, to revive us again? Isn't this what thou hast promised to do? For, Lord, when thy people rejoice in thee, thou art glorified then. This is thy glory, Lord. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, and tea will be provided shortly after the close of this service on the right-hand side of the chapel. Let us close with hymn 157. Mourning souls, by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
Forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do blot that out, and do bless thine own word, and raise in power what is sown in weakness. Keep us in the interval, and O Lord, do grant us we may be spared that gathering together in thy name. May thy grace, Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.